Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
It is less than a month now until the election in America. So we're going to check in every Monday with reporter Rebecca O'Neill in New York. And I just want to start with the ongoing developments around President Trump's health and his decision to take a drive outside his hospital to wave at well-wishers last night. Let's have a listen first to the message he put out. Have a listen to this.
I'm not telling anybody but you, but I'm about to make a little surprise visit. So perhaps I'll get there before you get to see me. So it's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID. I learned it by really going to school. This is the real school. This isn't the let's read the book school. And I get it, and I understand it, and it's a very interesting thing, and I'm going to be letting you know about it. In the meantime, we love the USA, and we love what's happening. Thank you.
He gets it. Rebecca O'Neill, how's it going?
I know, how wonderful. He gets it.
Good morning, Jen. So, as you might expect, President Trump put himself in front and centre with his drive past supporters last night, even though he is highly contagious. What was the reaction to that over there?
Yeah, I mean, Jen, look, just when you think it can't get any weirder, you know, the President Trump delivers. So obviously there has been quite a bit of backlash. You know, his behaviour has been slammed. Interestingly, I think one of the main objectors who were calling him out on Twitter was actually an attending physician at Walter Reed. So this is the facility where he'd been having his treatment, and it actually was just over 48 hours before he did his little drive-by. So Dr. James Phillip, you know, came out, and he was also kind of saying that he's in this, you know, SUV. It's nicknamed the Beast. It's like the presidential limo. It's hermetically sealed. It's so highly contagious, you know, even more so than traveling in another car, and obviously putting the people who are there to protect him, you know, in severe risk. So there was a tweet doing the rounds that got a lot of traction last night from Dr. Phillips, and I quote, every single person in the vehicle during that completely unnecessary presidential drive-by just now has to be quarantined for 14 days. They might get sick. They may die. Commanded by Trump to put their lives at risk for theatre. This is insanity. So I think that was kind of, you know, taken up by a lot of people. Obviously, his supporters there, like many of the events that we've been watching that have, you know, been surreal. It's this parallel universe where COVID doesn't exist, that, you know, his supporters outside packed quite tightly together in the video, and, you know, maskless. So, just another Trump event.
Odd. But there still seems to be a lot of questions surrounding the president's condition. I mean, what's going on there?
Absolutely. I mean, look, there has been chaos and confusion really all weekend. The White House, Jen, have been working hard to kind of fix their damaged credibility, really. You know, we had the president's personal physician, Dr. Sean Connolly. His updates left quite often, you know, even more questions unanswered, not least really, and most importantly, when the president actually contracted the virus. So communication over the weekend was a bit of a shambles, Jen, to be honest. You know, the doctor's rosy assessment was in direct contradiction with the president's chief of staff. So Mark Meadows came out on Friday and said, you know, it was very concerning. The next 48 hours will be critical. We're not on a clear path to full recovery. So obviously this caused great distress and worry over the weekend. Then yesterday, the most recent details, you know, more were finally forthcoming. He did admit, Dr. Sean Connolly, the personal physician, admitted that the president had been on oxygen at least twice. He had dodged that question on repeat from Saturday. So that quite worrying. You know, his vitals had dipped worryingly. And even more interestingly, Jen, you know, he had said, obviously the reporters were pushing him and asking him, you know, why hadn't he disclosed that, or why hadn't more information been forthcoming? And he said he was trying to, quote, reflect the upbeat attitude of the medical team and president. So quite, you know, I suppose unusual behaviour from a doctor.
Yeah, well, we have a clip of his doctor here. Here he is talking about Trump. Have a listen to this.
Over the course of his illness, the president has experienced two episodes of transient drops in his oxygen saturation. We debated the reasons for this and whether we'd even intervene. is the determination of the team, based predominantly on the timeline from the initial diagnosis, that we initiate dexamethasone.
Fake. Fake news. What do you think, Rebecca? Do you think he's faking?
Well, look, it's interesting that you should even bring that up because, yeah, I mean, fake news, like what two words I think I will always hear in my nightmares because, I mean, they've just been such an integral part of this campaign from, you know, for years, right? But I mean, look, even when the news was breaking initially, of course, there was widespread, you know, from Twitter online to news channels, everything actually saying, you know, was this real? You know, was this happening? Yeah. Because I suppose the campaign have been, you know, opaque, not transparent throughout. So it wasn't really shocking that people will be kind. I mean, look, you had the likes of Michael Moore saying, look, it's a conspiracy, you know. So, I mean,
I was talking about this with my friends over the weekend and I was saying, I don't believe me. It's fake. And they were like, well, what benefit is it to him in the election? Is there if he was faking this, and is there a benefit for him in getting this or faking getting this?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, would you even kind of narrow down what is a president supposed to do in a country, and particularly in a crisis like this, right, Jen? They're supposed to protect the people.
Yeah.
You know, in New York alone, you know, 23,000 people have lost their lives. It's just, you know, phenomenal. And he's not only shown that, you know, far too many people than necessary have died, but he couldn't protect the people, but he couldn't even protect himself. You know, so while there has been a lot of debate over, you know, the validity of this and whether it's truthful or not, it's worth mentioning that, you know, the campaign on Trump's side have been trying to get away and distract from the coronavirus. They don't want that to be the news, you know. Mm. So really, you know, but again, you know, these are the times that we're living. They're extraordinary times, but it would seem bizarre. They don't want, you know, the coronavirus to be front and center.
Okay. Now, like ourselves, New Yorkers will be waking up this AM to another new reality with lockdowns looking very likely to be coming into effect this week. What is the story, Rebecca? What's going on?
I know, such developments on both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Poor old Rook Moranis, he's not the only one who's going to be waking up with a headache this morning. You know, shocking news for New Yorkers again. Just yesterday afternoon, Mayor de Blasio announced the new lockdowns were on the cards. They may start, Jen, as early as this Wednesday. There's been large spikes across 9 specific neighbourhoods here. They're in Brooklyn and Queens. Their test positivity rates have shot up. They're at more than 3%. And New York has been really good. You know, it's been under 1% for weeks and weeks. So this is a big jump. And many of these neighborhoods include large populations of Orthodox Jews. Mm-hmm. There's 100 public and 200 private schools set to close in these 9 neighborhoods. And that's going to cause, obviously, complete chaos for parents, for teachers that have been going back and forth, you know, an incredibly difficult time. And then on top of that, Jen, there's 11 other neighborhoods that are being closely watched that are all also on alert. And it's looking likely that at least gyms and outdoor dining will be closed again, which really just kind of opened up here.
Yeah.
You know, we have been slow to open up. So a major blow for businesses and the city as a whole. Like, it's been struggling to find our feet. And I suppose the thought of kind of returning to these restrictions and lockdowns is a scary one, you know, for everyone. I mean, sure, look what you guys are experiencing there as well. You know, it's just more, you know, more difficult news to kind of be facing up to this morning.
So will you guys know more in the coming days, 48 hours, Wednesday, would you say? Would you know if that's definitely going to come into effect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the mayor is meeting. So it's he said that this is going to happen, but, you know, it is pending state approval. So the mayor is due to meet with Governor Cuomo today, and they're expected to finalize it. That will probably happen this morning. But, you know, it's looking pretty likely.
You're not getting home, Rebecca. You're not getting home.
Stop.
You're not getting home in the next month anyway. And
my gosh.
And my family, you know, in New York as well, like with us on a potential level 5 and New York going into lockdown, I'm not going to see them. Just going to put it down to next year and just suck it up.
Yeah, I think that's probably best. Mm-hmm.
And how are you doing?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking.
It's okay. How are you?
Let me fill you in. I think, you know, the last few days, like many people here, people are on edge. They're nervous, and we're kind of psyching ourselves up for the election night. Now, actually, election night, I mean, I need to correct myself. I wish it would be an election night. It's going to be more like an election week. An election, you know, it could take up to a few weeks. If it's going to be a close election, which many, it seems like it, the predictions are there that it will be. And with the, you know, many people choosing mail-in voting, and you have to remember, Jen, you know, a big part of presidential campaigns is this like October surprise. I mean, so many things have already happened this week. It's quite hard to get your head around it. Mm. From the bonkers presidential debate on Tuesday, you know, Melania's audio tape's been released, the president's taxes, you know, it's just an insane news cycle. I covered the last election, and there was plenty of moments that gave me pause and surprise during that, but nothing like this. And, you know, I think it's really surreal, you know, especially when you're hearing all this news of the virus, that the president has come out and said doesn't exist, and, you know, it has been working so hard to put against. And then, you know, his campaign results, and even like his campaign events rather, and these super spreader events from Republicans, and you're watching them, and it's like a parallel universe where COVID doesn't exist, you know. And like you said, when families on both sides of the Atlantic, you know, aren't seeing each other and are making major sacrifices, not to mention the thousands of people who have lost their lives in such tragic circumstances, you know, it's just mind-boggling.
Well, we all need a bit of a laugh, and I'm delighted to hear that Saturday Night Live with the Real Studio audience was back on telly. I have a clip. I need to play it for you again. Here we go.
The following is a rebroadcast of Tuesday's presidential debate. Even though Tuesday feels like 100 days ago, we thought it was important to see it again, since it might be the only presidential debate. And it was pretty fun to watch, as long as you don't live in America.
As long as you don't live in America. Was it fun for you to watch, or were you crying in a corner?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I wouldn't quite say fun. But I mean, again, you know, these are just extraordinary times. Yeah. And it's funny, something that kind of keeps spiraling around in my head, or, you know, the way you'd be thinking of something is Michelle Obama from the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, which seems like, you know, years ago at this stage, but it wasn't. And she said, you know, if you think things can't possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will. Now, that was really when she was kind of talking about teeing up the vote.
Yeah.
But really, you know, no more than what countries are dealing with as COVID just isn't going away. You know, it's just very difficult to predict.
Yeah.
When we're going to get a bit of a break.
Yeah, well, I suppose we're all going through the COVID situation, but you guys have this election to get over. And do you think things will be a bit easier for Americans once that decision has been made and once it's over?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's I suppose why there is that kind of air of unease and nervousness, more than there even would be, just in terms of, you know, the results and how long it is going to take, you know.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed
certainly, for a good result.
Yes.
Fingers crossed. Well, listen, Rebecca O'Neill, thank you so much for getting up early to take the call. Will you talk to us again next week to keep us up to date on what's happening over there?
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
Lovely. Thanks, Rebecca. There we go. That is Rebecca O'Neill, journalist and reporter over in New York. I just want to thank her again for getting up so early and chatting to us and keeping us up to date on what is happening. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.